closing, what is holding you back? And the whole background behind this talk today really came out of a group training call that I've been doing with a bunch of really dynamic executive directors, national directors, regional directors who are really popping their business, growing quickly. They're getting private coaching. So they're taking their Manatech business extremely seriously and really catapulting sign-ups. You know, they each have sign-ups every single week and doing really well. And I brought up the issue about what holds you back from closing on one of my trainings that I was doing for them on a Friday morning. And, boy, they just opened up and started spewing what's holding them back. And it was such a phenomenal call. The ideas they came up with just kind of, some of them knocked me off my chair. Other ones of them seemed pretty much standard, but I thought it was such a terrific call, and then I did a training on each one of those 13 reasons they gave to try to help them overcome the reason they're having a hard time closing. So because it was such an awesome call, the back-to-back calls we did on this topic, I decided to incorporate it into a training for our Monday call, because I'm sure as I go through these reasons why you have a hard time closing or why you fail to close people, you will probably relate to 1, 2, 3, 5, maybe all of them, but I'll probably hit upon one of the reasons why you're not effective on closing people. So let's jump in and just run through them. I'm going to give you the reasons. They're all outlined in the outline. They're all 13 of them, and then I'm going to give you some responses to that and how you can work on yourself and overcome what's holding you back from closing. So let's dig in. The first reason it's called, we do not want to be viewed as pushy. And that is gigantic. A lot of people don't want to feel like they're in the sales mode, they're being pushy about it. And I'm just going to ask you a simple question of that. Why are you being pushy? Whose view is it that you're being pushy? I'm going to tell you, your focus is on you. You're seeing yourself as pushy. No one else is complaining that you're pushy. You're seeing yourself. You're judging yourself on that issue. So if you focus on another person and you're focusing on helping them get well, how can you ever be looked at as pushy? And don't you think it's important that you help somebody get well? And if it's really important that you help somebody get well, don't you want them to start getting better today? Why do you want to have them wait another 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 6 weeks before they start really working at taking their health and taking their back control of their own health and taking their health seriously? So if you focus on them and why you're doing this, I'm going to tell you, you're never going to feel pushy about it. And if you ever do feel, quote-unquote, pushy, I'm going to ask you the question, who cares? I want you to be as bold as possible. I want you to step into it and show the boldness of who you are. And I'll just relate. I was in a one-on-one meeting with a gal who was at my meeting in Texarkana last week. And I sat down with her the next day, and she brought in her list of drugs she was on. She was on 14 different prescription drugs. She had a hard time talking to me because her mind was so cloudy. And she had all these issues, and we talked about all the health issues she'd had over the last 15 years and how the drugs kept adding and adding, which is just, you know, this woman's no different than probably 70% of the people we come across out there. She might have a few more drugs than most, but most of them are on 3, 4, 5, 8, whatever. This woman just hit the 14 number. But I'm watching her, and she started, you know, telling me about, well, I don't know if I can afford it. And I just looked at her, I said, I picked up her sheet of paper. I said, is this working for you? I mean, talk about boldness right in her face. Is this working for you? Why is it I have to repeat myself twice every time you ask me a question? Because your mind is so fogged over. You're on 14 prescription drugs. You're sitting in my office today. I said, if this is working for you, I don't think you'd be here. I mean, it was about getting right in her face about the reality of what her world is. And then I just stepped back. I said, 5 years ago, were you better or worse than you are today? And she goes, I was better. I go, great. So what does that tell you about all these drugs? Are they making your life better or worse for you? Reality check. I don't have a problem being bold, because if I'm not bold, that person's not going to make a good decision for herself. So let me give you some insight into the people you're working with out there. Number one, the majority of people want you to make the decision for them, because most people fear making decisions. They're afraid of making a mistake. So if you're not stepping up and being, quote-unquote, pushy, if you're not being bold about what you have for their lives, I'm going to suggest with a majority of the people that you're going to be in wishy-washy land for the rest of your life, because they're not going to want to make a decision. So if you understand that most of the people want you to make the decision for them, why are you not stepping into it and doing that for them? Forget about what you think you look like. Do what makes most sense, which is if you're part of this mission and you're part of a paradigm shift, then step up to it with the boldness you ought to have to affect the results that you really want to affect. Okay? So get rid of the pushy concept and be bold and dismiss it from your head. Quit focusing on you. Just focus on the results you want to affect in a person's life. And that will help you with the boldness and get out of the realm of evaluating that self-judgment you have. Number two was, we are afraid of saying the wrong thing. Well, first and foremost, you can't say the wrong thing if you come from your heart. If you love the person you're sitting across the table from and you really want to make a difference in their lives and you come from heart, you can never say the wrong thing. It can't come across wrong. It can't. Because you're just coming from heart. The wrong words come out, they funny little language, it could be upside down, backwards, forward, whatever. But you know what? When you're talking from your heart, they're going to get it. People get that communication. You'll move mountains when you come from your heart. So work on communicating from your heart instead of your head. Too many of us are right planted in our head. It's all about how much information we can spew out instead of how much we feel for the other person, how much we really care about them changing their lifestyle so they truly can affect a better life for themselves and their family. If that's where your care is, you're going to impact them in a very different way. So again, you can never say the wrong thing as long as you're speaking from the heart. The other thing you need to always remember is people never care how much you know until they know how much you care. So if you're not coming from your heart, I don't care how much stuff comes out of your head and whether it's right or wrong or indifferent. It's not going to work because they don't know that you even care. If they can't read that you care about them, you're never going to close them. I mean, you might as well go next, start over again. And for some of you, maybe that's a good thing to do. I'm going to tell you to look at the people you're prospecting right now and say, wow, I have been overly analytical. I've been dumping on them, spewing all this stuff on them, and here I'm trying to close, and I don't even know where I'm going with it because I've put so much information in front of them. I'm going to call them up today. Here's what I want you to do. Call them up today and say, you know what? I want to start all over. Can we go out to lunch? That's what I want you to do. Call them up and say, I want to start all over. Can we go to lunch? And they'll, like, think, what's this all about? They'll have no clue. And then when you go to lunch, I want you to ask questions. I want you to just ask them questions about them, their family, and I want you to say, you know what, the whole reason I got involved in this is because I care about people and I want to affect a change in this world where people take back control of their health. And I think I haven't been communicating how much I care in all my communication I've made with you. So I want to apologize and let's start over. No. I'm going to guarantee you, if you did that with your 10 people in your hopper right now, you're going to get 9 sign-ups. Because so far all you've done is dump information on. You just keep loading more and more information. They get more documentation and CDs and websites, and it's like, okay, that's really heartfelt. Again, you can't say the wrong thing when you come from your heart. Number three, we're afraid we did not cover everything. Excuse me. What determines how much you need to cover with a person? Your agenda? That's where you're going wrong. Get off of your agenda. Some people need one piece of paper. Some people need the Ben Carson Flick. Some people need the 3-Doctor CD. Some people need a Miracle Sugar booklet. Some people need, you know, to look at the website. Some people need just your story. I talked to one person, they sat me down and said, Mary, they first looked at me and said, before you get into any of the technical stuff, Mary Jo, tell me why you're doing what you're doing. And I told them the story about my dad. And they said, okay, sign me up. And I was like, sign me up. You don't even know that. My agenda wasn't done yet, but you know what? I listened to them. They didn't need my agenda. They read my passion. They heard my story. They signed up. Now, I will take the time and energy to educate them about what are glyconutrients so that I can retain them. I think it's critical that we make sure everybody gets it. Don't get so excited that you've closed somebody in 5 minutes or less, because if you don't educate them and they never get what they're really taking, then they're signing up purely on emotion, and that may not last very long. It's kind of like signing somebody up on a motivational issue, and then all of a sudden the motivation dies off and they don't know why they're doing it, so they quit. So you got to come back after you sign them up and get them started, always come back and make sure they get enough education so they really get why they're doing what they're doing. But it's not what is my agenda. It is them. You need to listen to the people you're talking to. They dictate how much is enough, not you. So how can you ever be afraid that you didn't cover everything when it's not about you? And if I had to ever cover everything, trust me, people, I'd never get done closing anyone, because everything is a heck of a lot of information. Think about what we have today around glycobiology. Oh, my goodness. That's why I'm so excited about Phytomatrix, because I can talk about that in 5 minutes or less. I don't have to talk about blue balls on the cell surface. I don't have to go through, 15 minutes of history. I can, in a nutshell, talk about what Phytomatrix is about. But covering everything is just a bunch of nonsense. You don't need to cover everything. You just need to come from the heart, love on the person, listen to what their concerns are, meet their needs. Next, get off of your agenda. Listen to them. You're not listening enough if you're worried about cover everything, because they will let you know what you need to cover if you just listen to them. Number four, here's another reason why people fail to close. We do not know when to start closing. That was a good response. When do you start closing? What's the trigger point? For me, I start closing in the get-go. You see, when somebody says to me they're interested in getting materials from me, that's the beginning of the closing. Because if somebody's interested in getting materials from me, what is that telling me? That they have an issue, they would like it to get it resolved, they have interest. All I need to know is that they have interest, and now I start closing them. So my whole interaction with them from the get-go, once they have interest in getting materials, is I talk about lifestyle change, I talk about, what this is going to mean for them and their family and what a terrific idea it is that they're concerned about health and they really get the idea we need to make a paradigm shift. And I'm talking about that all the way along. So the closing can start the minute you start interacting with them after they ask for information, because truly they want to do something different in their life. If they did want to do something different, they wouldn't ask for material. They wouldn't want to be educated. So you start closing from that point. Then by the time you get to the point where you're filling out a form, it's already a foregone conclusion because you've started the closing process. You've started using language around closing from the get-go. You've used language of, this is going to be a great lifestyle change for your family. You're going to see some great results. Your daughter with lupus, here's some studies on that. What a terrific, walk she's going to have. What a difference in her life. You see how everything is already aimed, all the languaging is aimed at them already being on the product. So there isn't an issue about getting down to dishing out 25 documents to them and saying, are you ready to get started? I don't have to say that because they already have started. From the pathway that I put them on, I start closing them on the get-go. They've already got the languaging down. They're hearing it over and over again, what a difference it's going to be in their lives, their daughter's differences, their son, what direction they're going to go, looking at their diet, the support system we have for helping people make good dietary choices, exercise patterns, let's just make this a whole family affair, da-da-da. I mean, it just is a big thing. Everybody can be different around this, but starting the closing should be something that starts in the early stages of your communication with them. It's not something you leave to the end. When you leave it to the end, a lot of you on this call can relate to this. When you leave it to the end, doesn't it become awkward? Because now you feel like you're asking for something. When you incorporate it from day one in languaging about what a terrific difference it's going to make in their lives and all this, now there's no awkwardness because you've already laid all the foundation of them making that decision. So there's no discomfort around the closing. So quit building up this closing to be some kind of uncomfortable, unique event that the fireworks all go off. When somebody signs up with me, there's no fireworks, because the fireworks went off the minute they asked me for some information. That's where my fireworks go off, because I know they're going to start taking the product. And I already visualize them in my organization. Very different approach. Okay, so that's number four. When do you know when to start closing? Start early, and start with languaging that already has them on the product. Number five, we are not sure the person is ready. Well, ask. Okay. I mean, if you've gotten to the point where you're just stuck in nowhere land on a relationship with somebody, say, are you ready to get started? Is there any, my favorite language would be, is there anything, because I am an objection monger. I love to find out people's objections. Now, some of you think that's just outrageous because you feel so uncomfortable around objections, but I love objections. Because every single objection is another opportunity for me to educate somebody on an issue. That's what objections are. They're open doors for me to educate people. So I love objections. So if I were going to be in a position where I had to find out if a person's ready, and of course, remember, if you start closing early, you know they're ready. So, but if you're in a position where you don't know that they're ready, you could ask them if they're ready to start, or you can say, is there anything that would hold you back from getting started? So you find out what's on their head. You want to know, because once an objection, always an objection. So you don't want to let that objection linger. Even if you get to close them, if they carry an objection forward, what's going to happen? They're going to stop taking the products because the objection never got clarified. It never got cleared up for them, so they're going to always carry it. So you want to find out if there's anything holding them back. And you just ask questions. So there should never be a time you're not sure if the person's ready, because you're in control. You just ask the question. Find out if they're ready. Okay? Number six. Oh, and let me get into something on number five, too. Here's something you guys like to do. I see it happen all the time. Because you're so unsure of yourself and you're so uncomfortable around closing something, you love the following question. Are you ready for this? Write this one down, because you all love it. You love to say, would you like some more information? That makes me vomit when I hear that question. I want you to put a big black magic marker through that question as you wrote it down on your notes from today's call. I don't ever want you to ask somebody if they'd like more information. Because you know where that comes from? It comes from your insecurity. It comes from you, not them. It comes from you. Why are you not holding them capable for asking the question themselves? If they want more information, don't you think they're capable of asking they want more information? But you know what you do? Because you don't feel like they're ready yet, or you're not ready to close them because you feel like you're going to screw it up, or you're uncomfortable, or you fear being pushy, or you fear all this fear stuff comes up. So instead of closing them, you feel, oh, I can buy more time if I can see if they want more information. What? People, I don't want to buy any time. And why don't I want to buy any time? The reason I don't want to buy any time is because I'm worried about their daughter with lupus right now, and I don't think she should have to suffer one more day. But you who want to keep giving them more information and tossing that language out, oh, would you like some more information? Would you like your daughter to suffer for another couple weeks before you make a decision? This is what you're saying. How can I support you in your distaste for making decisions? Do you get what you're doing? You're feeding on one of their inadequacies in their life instead of supporting them and moving forward and making a change. So, no more, would you like some more information? Throw up. Get rid of it. Get it out of your languaging. Totally. I want you all to look at that and get it out of your languaging. You think it's being nice. I think it's being silly. It's being, you're an enabler. You're just breeding failure by asking that question. Number six, we are not sure we've done enough to get the All-Star Pack versus the 99 Pack. Well, there's a big difference between those two packs. It's a lot simpler to sign somebody up at 99 than the 1099. It doesn't take as much time because it's not as big a commitment financially. So clearly there's going to be a difference between the two. When I get somebody in as an All-Star, usually it takes three or four meetings. 99 takes one. One phone call, one pack sent out, one follow-up, and that's done. It's that simple. But if I were going to get them in at the 1200 or 1099, which is about 1200 after taxes and shipping, it's going to take more energy around it because then they need to know more about the business side, because most of the people I sign up at that level are business builders. I want to make sure their pack is deductible, so I want to make sure they're business builders, not just consumers. So anyway, so I work with them on what the business is about, and it takes a little bit more caring because it's not just about the science and getting well. So anyway, so the 99ers are simpler, and sometimes it takes patience. The other thing I recommend around the All-Star Pack is if you're ever going to get somebody involved with the All-Star Pack, always involve a spouse. It's a policy I have. Why? Because I've seen too many times when the spouse goes home after buying a 1099 pack and the other spouse goes crazy. And if you have somebody at home that doesn't support you in doing this business, it's not an easy thing to do. Especially if they're the breadwinner and you're spending their money. I had that case happen in my life. My husband didn't support this at all. He thought I was crazy. He even thought I was crazier when I left a six-figure income to make $100 a month. Well, some people could call that a little crazy, too. But he wasn't very supportive at all. He thought I was just, like, going off on a tangent somewhere. But thank goodness I was the major breadwinner. I didn't have to feel the financial concern that a lot of people do. So that didn't bother me, but I was just doing it. I felt so led by the Lord that I felt guided and directed by somebody greater than my husband in my life, me. So I didn't have any, you know, doubts or second guessing that was going on in my head. But that's not true about a lot of people. So what you want to do is you want to make sure both are on board. If you can get the spouse on board early on, now you've conquered a number of things. You don't want to do it many times because you're afraid they're gonna stop the transaction from happening. You're not on earth to sell products. You're on earth to support a mission for an incredible paradigm shift in this country that we all play a major role in, and we need to step up to the plate and be bigger players and to help people be effective. Okay, number seven, we're afraid of the no or the rejection, okay? I got a great book for you guys. I want you to all go out and buy it. If you have a fear, if you're carrying fear in your life, buy the book by Susan Jeffers. It's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. Great book. You need to get rid of fear out of your life. And we just had a Sunday school lesson around fear, too. We were reading in Isaiah, and we were talking about idols and the creation of idols and talking about the exiled people with the Cyrus, the king of Persia, coming along, and everybody was so scared. What did they do? Fear. Fear just drove their lives. And it caused them to race to build idols. And they make metal idols and wooden idols and put nails in them so they stood up, and it was hilarious. I mean, you read this in Scripture and you just start laughing because how silly is it? Our God created all the heavens and earth, and we're going to build a little idol, and that's going to make a difference. That's going to save us from Cyrus, the king of Persia? I don't think so. But the concept of fear and how fear controls our lives. So, no fear. So, Get some good reading on that. And Jeffers does a great job in her book about feel the fear and do it anyway. In other words, move through it. Don't let fear control your life. You need to also acknowledge that any rejection is never a rejection of you. And people have a choice. I look at and I honor everybody on the face of the earth in their ability to choose for themselves. And that's a choice they make about everything they do in life. You can choose to be in anxiety. You can choose to be in panic. You can choose to be joyful. You can choose to be sad. We all make choices every day around our attitude, our actions, our direction, our commitments. Choices are things we make. I look at every human being. You're not victim to anything. You're responsible for your behavior. So you make choices. I feel the same way around Manatech. If somebody looks at me and they say, Mary Jo, I've read all the material, I've done all the research, and I don't think this is for me, I might say, what is it in it that you didn't see or you didn't like? Because I want to know what was the basis of their decision. So I will pursue that. But I will also step in and honor them for making that choice because they have a right to make that choice. It's not a choice I can make for them. It's their choice to be made. So if you acknowledge that everybody has a choice, why are you fearing rejection? Why? You're fearing somebody makes a bad decision in their life? My goodness gracious, you're going to walk around on this earth with lots of fear because people make bad decisions all the time, don't they? I see it every day. All I got to do is look in the political realm, look in the local realm, read the newspaper, look on the news. I mean, there are bad choices being made every moment of every day in our society. I'm not going to be fearful of people making bad decisions because that's the nature of the beast. But I just honor them for at least taking the time and energy and effort to review the materials I've given them so that they had a possibility of making a better choice for their life. That's the beauty. So get rid of the fear. Number eight, we are afraid that as we push the codes, we will not be able to respond to objections. And that's an easy one. But some of you are just so, you know, you just feel so uncomfortable. People say, oh, Mary Jo, what do you say when they say, oh, this is too expensive? Oh, Mary Jo, what do you say when they say that I only do what my doctor says? Well, my philosophy on this, as all of you know who've been on my training calls long enough, is that you need to be prepared. If you're totally prepared for any objection that comes up, you're going to be just a crazy closer. You're going to be closing everybody right and left. You're going to be an objection monger, and that's exactly what I want you to be. So I'm going to tell you where you can go to get that tool. There's a call I did, a training call on a Monday, how to respond to objections. I want you to go on the ManaTrain website, listen to the download that call, listen to it, download the outline, and answer. The outline has the 18 most common objections that you're going to get, and I want you to fill it in. I want you to write an answer to every single one of them. And if you have a problem with some of them, send Mary Jo an email. I'll be more than happy to work with you around objections. Anyone can say anything to me, and you know what? I have a response. And, you know, every once in a while somebody comes up with something that I go, oh, my gosh, it's something new and different that's really totally off the wall maybe. And I'll say, you know, that's a great question. Let me go and see if I can find an answer for you. But you know what? I want every objection. Because what did I say earlier? Once an objection, always an objection. So you want to make sure you push through everybody's objection. So be prepared. Listen to the objection call. Write all down all your answers. Get them ingrained in your brain so you know exactly how to respond to any possible objection that comes up. Number nine, we do not want to sound like we're in a convincing mode. Well, that's not what you're about. In fact, there's a great quote that's in my Pathway booklet, in my Pathway class that I use, and it's something to the gist of, our job is not to convince someone of this opportunity, but rather to find those who, when they see the opportunity, are willing to do something about it. So your job isn't convincing. Your job is to help, support, educate somebody so they understand it. If they don't have a passion or an inkling inside their human body to move forward on the information you've given to them, next, be the educator. Once you start whining and getting into the convincing mode, you've probably pretty much lost the person. They have to have something that stirs them inside, internally. In fact, I did a three-way call last week, and I was talking to this gentleman, and he goes, well, I don't know. And I go, well, let me ask you a question. Do you have any passion around health? I mean, do you have any, you know, what's your feeling about health and healthy? Well, I'm eating a bologna sandwich right now, and, you know, and he starts, and you know what? This business isn't for everybody. Quit trying to make it for everybody. A person who doesn't care about health doesn't belong in ManaTech doing this as a business. You keep trying to fit square pegs in round holes. Wrong. There are plenty of round pegs out there that will fit in the round hole. Find those. That's what you're after. Remember, there's a great saying that in the past, boy, I hope I have enough time on the call. There's a great saying in the past, I remember, I think I heard it from Kevin Robbins, maybe from stage about 4 years ago at a national event, and he said, our job is to take a deck of cards, and we're not looking for the twos and the threes and the fives. We're looking for the four aces out of those 52 cards, and that's our job. We're sorting through it to find the four aces. So how many does that mean we're going to go through before we find the aces? Do you get it? That's what our job is to do. So when you find yourself always in that convincing mode, there's something about you that either you're not showing the passion that you have for the products and for the business, so they're not getting that communicated through you, or you're coming across in a way that you're not finding out from the person whether they have any interest in health to start with. So be careful of what you're doing in that realm, because you're creating some of this in terms of a response. Number 10, we have a hard time convincing people to get on auto order after they get started. Well, in my organization, there's this terminology that's called the automatic order, and that's exactly how I teach it. Automatic orders are automatic. You don't sign up unless you put them on automatic order. When you talk at the beginning of your presentation to a person about lifestyle change and paradigm shift, and this is a whole new look at taking back responsibility for your health, there is no issue about being on automatic order. It is automatic, because the only way they can stay on the products at the cheapest possible price is automatic order. If somebody signs up with me and they don't commit to take it for 6 months, guess what? They don't sign up with me. It doesn't happen. You control that. You're the one marketing this business and these products. You can say, hey, you can't get started unless you sign up for 6 months. You can find somebody else to sign up with, but This is a lifestyle change commitment. This isn't about trying a product for 30 days. You don't try water. You don't drink more water for 30 days and see if it works for you, do you? No. Well, you don't do it with Amber Toast either. So 6 months or you don't get started. And that's just your a philosophy you take on. So it's not about convincing them on automatic order. Automatic order is automatic. 11, we overanalyze what is necessary. There's so much information, we're not sure. Well, this is getting into analytical, you know, you get into that analytical stage about all the stuff. And when you start doing that, you've already lost yourself and you've lost them. Keep it simple. I put the word stupid on there. I don't really like that word, but anyway, it says KISS. You guys have heard of that. KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid. Okay, that's what it's about. It's about keeping it very simple. Listen to them. Listen to what they need. Don't try to give them stuff they don't need. Keep it really simple. Be very specific. If they want more information from you, always ask, what is that more information look like to you? Don't just go home and just pick and choose off of your desktop where you have 25 different stacks and go into your garage and find things that Sam Castor made 10 years ago. That's not what you do. You get very specific with them. If they want more information, you go, what is it that you'd like to look at? What do they need to hear? What do they need to see? When you start trying to figure out what they... You're off on another tangent. Listen to them. Ask questions. Debbie Jones does a great job of teaching how to ask questions. That's what we need to do. Find out what their needs are and meet their needs. Don't just keep dumping more dump trucks worth of information on them. So quit overanalyzing it. Give them a little. Keep it simple. And if they want more, if they ask for more, not you offering it, ask them, what would that look like? What would be most beneficial for you? What would you like to hear about or read? What do you need to see? More science? More what? Number 12, we are not sure where to place them once signed up. Oh my goodness, was this huge. Can you imagine a group of high-powered, and I'm not picking on these people, but it just opened a huge aha for me, that a group of high-powered Manatech associates growing their businesses as quickly as these group was and as effectively, people had to raise the issue that they, what was holding them back from closing was they didn't know where to put them in their organization. Hard to believe, but yes. And so that means that if someone in that group felt like it, there are plenty of you out there that feel the same way. I just went through in the outline my basic structure. I've placed two who get two until we meet three criteria. Number one, you have a business builder in each of two legs. Number two, you've gotten a power bonus one. And number three, you have at least 12 masters or all-stars in each of those two legs. When you hit those three criteria, then you can start your third leg. It usually doesn't happen until you're about national. You don't need a third leg until you're at least national because you don't need a third leg until you get to executive. That's where you need a third leg in order to qualify as executive. And the two-get-two structure is totally in compliance and totally in alignment with our comp plan. It's the best way to get team bonuses. It's the best way to earn the power bonus as quick as possible. Strategies for further placement is geography. Number one, if I got people in Florida and I have a leg in Florida and I go down there on a trip and I sign somebody up at the airport, I don't put them in a 16th leg and start a new leg. I put them under my people in Florida. That's the way you help support people. Number two, I help to build teams. So if I find a promoter, I don't put a promoter under another promoter. I'm going to put a promoter under a nurturer. I'm going to put a promoter with a controller. I want to build teams. I want the different personality quadrants to be complemented in my organization. Because that's how they're going to work together. You put four promoters in a room and all you're going to have is one big party. I don't want a big party. I want effectiveness. I want people to be the best they can be. I want them to complement with surrounding themselves with people from other quadrants so they can be the most effective. And when I find a big promoter, when he's signing up hundreds of people, I love these guys. Each one of you might have seen one of these. They sign up 12, they lose 10. Sign up 12, they lose 10. So I told my promoters, I said, take your people you're signing up and put them under the nurturers in your downline. Find the people who are nurturers that aren't very good in signing people up, but they love to nurture and train people, and start placing people under them. That's how you make your business grow. That's how you make it work. That's how you keep your retention level up. So many of us are worried about all these fancy, sophisticated structures. Just make it work for the people. I don't care if I create a presidential in my downline without her ever signing up anyone. If she's a great nurturer, I'm going to put people underneath her because she's going to help keep those people on the products. She's going to put the time and energy behind it that I don't have to do that today. So think really smart when you're placing people. The last issue, 13, was a huge one, and hopefully we can get through it. we have a problem with motives, in that when we close someone, they're paying money, and we know people have not benefited from the products, because all of us have had people that have taken these products that haven't had results. So all of a sudden you have this ethical pull. Well, what if they don't have the results? And you get this kind of guilt thing on. Wow. If that's what's holding you back from closing, that's a huge aha. First and foremost, why are you making this all about their results? You've seen phenomenal results with Manatech products. Not everybody's going to have the same results. Why? Because none of you on this phone call understand exactly how the human body works. None of us do. We don't know all the inner workings. We just know about saccharides. We know they're missing. We know they're in nutrition that's necessary. We don't know whether it's going to be like overnight for this person, take them 6 months, take them 2 years. We don't know that they're going to stay committed long enough. We don't know exactly the response. So quit making this all about their results. When you have the problem with closing based on number 13, that you have this guilt thing coming on, you're always focused on results. I'm focused on wellness. When I work with somebody, I'm not a Manatech salesperson. I never am a Manatech salesperson. I'm a wellness professional. I'm a health lifestyle coach. When I work with somebody, I give them diets to take. I give them exercise patterns. I work with them. If they have cholesterol, I give them a sheet on how to avoid foods in their diet that support their liver producing cholesterol. So it's not just about swallowing Immunostart and Ambertose. It's about a full package deal. When somebody with diabetes comes to work with me, I talk about them and I look at their body and I go, this is what we're going to work on first. You've got to exercise every day. I don't care how many products I throw in their body. I need them to take some responsibility for their own lifestyle. And if they're not going to do that, it's not about the product. So when you become a lifestyle coach, a wellness coach, then you can never have a problem about results from the product. You can never have an ethical pull around this issue because it's a bigger package. It's about them stepping into responsibility, not just you getting them to swallow a product. Hopefully that makes some sense to you. We have a bigger role to play in these people's lives, and it's not a tough role to play because there's tons of information on the Internet you can download and send to people to support them on lifestyle changes. You just have to take the initiative and do it. Okay, great. I think I got through it. I could have spent another 15 minutes on that last one, but I know we only have a couple minutes left. Any questions from the call? Did I hit any numbers for some of you guys in terms of what's holding you back from closing?
Bravo.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Wow. Aren't these huge?
I do have a question. Can you take one?
Here, go ahead, Jim. Yeah, the one that we didn't get up front. Go ahead.
Yeah. You commented we're using Celsius with that temperature to melt the rocks. And,
yeah.
And then you use 120 Celsius for the body. Well, that's over boiling. And my body's not that
high. Is it Fahrenheit? I don't know which one it is. Did I say Celsius? I don't know which one it is.
Okay, that one threw me.
Fahrenheit, yeah, sorry, Jim. I probably threw some people with that, too, but yeah. The difference is 2,800 degrees versus 120 degrees. There's the two differences that Bob Sinek put out there, okay?
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
I tried to close a person the other day, and she said she's very interested in getting started, but she doesn't want to get started until she knows she can go on the automatic order. How would you have handled that?
I would have closed her anyway, and I said, you know what, let's get you started at a level you can at least get it in your body, because why do we want to wait any more days? And then maybe in the process, by the time you're getting ready that you can afford the automatic order, we might already have one paid for you.
Yeah, okay.
You get it?
Yeah,
because the team bonus is so big and helping her share with other people. You know, when people try to negotiate with me about delaying getting on the products, it's like, you know, you get how important this is as a missing nutrient to your diet. I don't want you to delay 1 minute. Okay?
Thank you.
Hi, Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
Mary Jo. On number 12, were the three criteria again?
The number 12, the three criteria to start the third leg? Here's your three criteria. In order to start you always build two legs. You start off building two legs at a time. You build two, get two. Okay? And you keep building down, down, down. That's how I build my organization. That's how I advise everybody on the face of the earth to build theirs. You don't start a third leg until you get these three criteria accomplished. Number one, that you have a business builder in each of the two legs. Because if you start a third leg before you have a business builder, you're going to have some green fed into those legs. If they're dying from bottom up because people stop ordering because the people at the bottom aren't earning the team bonus. So you're going to start seeing that it's going to start falling off. Your orders will start falling off. So you want to make sure you have a business builder in each of those two legs that will help self-perpetuate the legs. Number two, You want to make sure you've earned your power bonus. Because if you stub your third leg before you've earned the power bonus, now you're wasting PQC. All the PQC in the third leg doesn't help support you getting your power bonus. So you want to get your power bonus as fast as possible. That's why you stick to two legs. And number three, I'd like for you to get 12 masters or all-stars in each of those two legs, because then you start participating in the star bonus program, which is your second check. And some of you can look at that and say, oh, my second check, it's only $20 a month or $100 a month. My second runs $4,000, $6,000 a month. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of money to leave on the table if you're not collecting star bonuses. As you grow, there's not a lot there up front, but as you grow, if you're not collecting the star bonuses, I'm going to tell you who is, your upline. So you want to make sure you got 12 masters or all-stars in each of those two legs, because now you're going to get two star bonuses when you start that third leg. Otherwise, all those star bonuses flow right up to your upline.
Mary Jo, you mentioned your abundance CD and that you're someone is copying it. Can we burn your CDs?
Once you buy them from DupliPack, you're going to have to buy them from DupliPack. Once you buy a set, if you wanted to do, I'm not going to hold you to that. I can't keep it. They'll have a double set of the abundance and the what the Bible says about healthy music.
Okay. Hello, Roz. Yes. I have a question about clothing. I have had a number of people who have said, I really like the sound of a product, but I just don't have that sort of money to pay $100 a month. And when I've spoken to them about helping them to get their bonus each month or to get their team bonus, I'm not interested in selling products. And, you know, I use the approach about blessing other people and, you know,
yep,
sharing from a good rest.
Not about selling products.
Right. So how do you...
First of all, if somebody says they can't afford $100 a month, I look at them and say, well, how important is health to you? It's the same objection as it costs too much. You just look at them and say, how important is health to you?
Okay.
And let them respond to that question, Roz. Let them look at themselves and see what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I also talk about, I say, well, I'm sorry you can't see that. You know, I have mothers who are on aid to families with dependent children, and they're affording $100 a month because they know the difference this is making in their children's lives. So you can tell them scenarios of other people,
yeah,
who are doing it that are 10,000 times worse off than they are.
And what if they say, you know, well, I'm using like Noni or something and I'm finding that's making a difference for me.
Is that
the one that came in?
I tell them, I'm glad you're seeing that supplementation is so necessary. My only question for you is if you're going to invest in supplements, why not take the best in the marketplace? And that's what I'm here to try to give you the education on.
Okay, you know what I mean?
That's the kind of thing.
There's just the thing I want to say. I think
so. They got a bad batch of berries.
I got some people talking in the background. Go ahead.
Yeah.
One more comment.
Oh, hello?
Yep. Another question?
This is a very appropriate time to thank Mary Thanksgiving week. She does an awesome job each week for us.
Amen.
I just am very thankful for you, Mary Jo.
Well, thank you for you. I love you too. All right, guys, you have a great one.